The text for this sermon is still from James chapter 1, as printed in the bulletin. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Everyone knows that I am a foreigner. My official title in this country is the resident alien. But I also find myself to be a minority in another sense almost every year this time around, because with a few exceptional friends like Dr. Just, I happen to cheer for a team from New York, those who wear attractive-looking pink stripes, although they look miserable by yesterday. Obviously, my love in sport entertainment is in baseball. But in the past few years, I also learned to enjoy soccer because my son has played it from the days at St. Paul's and now has completed his career at Concordia Lutheran High School. Oh, how many nights and days I went to watch his playing along with others on the sidelines. I saw Dr. Just, Dr. Rast, Dr. Gishin, sometimes even Dr. Wenthy. Quite a roller coaster emotionally at times. As I started to care for this sport, I discovered that the key to the game of soccer, and probably also in football, basketball, maybe even baseball, is the fake, making it seem as if you are going to do one thing when actually you are planning to do something else. When they work, fakes throw the defense off guard, opening up weaknesses that enable the offense to score or move closer to a goal. But when it comes to temptations and trials in life, James says there is nothing fake about them. Anyone who is undergoing a period of life's trials and temptations right now know about this quite well. Tentatio or anfechtung is not an idea or abstraction, but it's real and concrete. Also, tentatio comes not only on occasions, but all the time. Our entire life as a Christian is spent in the context of temptations. They are around our necks, says Dr. Luther. Sickness, injustice, suffering, pain, and death. These and other challenges do come, and it appears as if God doesn't care for you. In addition, there is a horrible possibility that you can face the final destruction and eternal death because of your sin. If the resident authority on this epistle were right, that James addressed to novice pastors who were scattered in diaspora after the persecution of Stephen, the trials of various kinds in James 1:2 do not refer to internal desires of the flesh in the sense of physical gratification or certain external difficulties. James doesn't encourage his hearers to make a progress in character development toward moral perfection either. Rather, the trials of various kinds talk about ways in which people renounce faith in Jesus. The first Christian pastors in diaspora were constantly enticed to surrender their faith in Jesus and return to the ordinary life of the previous time. They felt unwelcome in the synagogues. They were excluded from the circles of friends and even closest family members. The devil is a master of the fake in making us defenseless. The less dangerous ones, temptations to curse, lust, steal, or lie, can look the most powerful. But the most dangerous temptations, like false belief and despair that Luther mentions in our catechism just as we recited, can look weak and harmless, and they often come silently and secretly. What kind of trials or temptations do you experience today? Seminarians and deaconess students are not exempt from the most dangerous temptations of false belief or despair. James knew this. In the Synoptic Gospels, the story of temptation of Jesus is located after his baptism and just before his beginning of the public ministry. The devil worked very hard to prevent Jesus from going to Calvary to answer for all your sins. Likewise, in James, the problem of temptation is located at the very beginning of the epistle, because he knew that the devil never wants the fruits of Calvary to be delivered through the pastors. May I ask you, like Dr. Quill a couple of days ago, can you find yourself in the text? Yes, you are baptized, and you are here at the seminary before the beginning of the public ministry as pastors. The devil is hard at work, right here, right now. Don't ever imagine that the new Adam in you would get stronger and stronger every day at the seminary. The amount of study you spend, the day and night, doesn't correspond to the growth of your faith. You will never achieve a status where you would not to be tempted at all. Well, you know that in your experience, it is quite the opposite. The better Christian you become, the deeper sense of sinfulness you realize. Or, as Luther put it in this way in his great Galatian lectures, the godlier one is, the more aware he is of the conflict. So, what kind of trials and temptations do you have today? False belief that the catechism says may not seem to apply to the seminarians and deaconess students, because daily we study sound doctrine. But this too can be a fake. What about despair? This doesn't sound like much of a temptation either, but when things start to go wrong, when nothing seems to go the way you hope it will, it seems only natural to get discouraged and lose heart. Luther once presented a series of rather nasty theses for a disputation around Romans chapter 3, verse 28, which go in like this in 6 points. One, Paul here speaks not only of moral law, but also of its total power and force. Two, man does not even understand its force, much less is he able to judge and teach it. Three, its force, however, and power is to slay, or to show that sin must be punished with eternal death. Four, when a man really begins to feel this force, with the Spirit reproving him, he soon despairs of God's mercy. Five, but despairs of God's mercy is the greatest sin and is unforgivable unless grace cancels it in suitable time. And six, a man never sins more terribly than in that moment when he begins to feel or understand the law. So, we are given to pray, and lead us not into temptation. If we attempt to fight against temptations by our own strength, we look most miserable. We never reach a point where we can comfortably and ably control our old Adam in us either. The strength of faith doesn't come from itself, but from our Lord, who comes only through the means of grace. Yes, the means of grace point is precisely the point of devil's attack, and exactly the point which we pray in this petition to ask for the Lord's protection. And lead us not into temptation. We pray this not double-mindedly and doubting, but firmly trusting the Lord that He gives us every perfect gift generously and without reproach. The Lord fills your ears with the words of forgiveness, and your mouth with the body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus speaks, "My grace is sufficient for you." Yes, for you. "For my power is made perfect in weakness." Our Lord also says, "I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail." The Lord doesn't take us out of temptations or trials, somehow making us immune to them or exempt from them. He keeps us here where there are temptations. But He keeps us here also where He shepherds us. You will be tempted right up to your last day and hour, and your Lord Jesus Christ will keep on serving you with what we most need, the forgiveness of sins. So, as James says, rejoice, dear brothers and sisters, when you meet trials and various kinds, for your Lord, your Savior, is more Savior than what you ever want Him to be. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.